Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 22nd day of May, 2018. I am so delighted to have, for the very first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Emilio Ramos, who is pastor of Heritage Grace Church in Frisco, Texas. He's also the founder of Red Grace Media and author of Convert, From Adam to Christ and Crucified, The Soul of the Gospel. And today we are going to be addressing Unpopular, the movie, and we're also going to be announcing a visit to Israel that Emilio Ramos is arranging with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries this October. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Emilio Ramos.
It's good to be with you, Chris.
Praise God. The pleasure is all mine, brother. And before we get into your personal testimony of salvation, because we try to do that every time we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we like them for the first time that they're on to give their testimony in a summarized fashion, to hear the religious upbringing you had, if any, and the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord used in your life to draw you to himself and save you. But before we do that, why don't you let our listeners know something about Heritage Grace Church of Frisco, Texas?
Heritage Grace is actually my second church that I've planted, and I am the preaching pastor there, and I have been for the last 6 years. We actually just celebrated our six-year anniversary. It's just a small church here in North Dallas, and I'm just very grateful to be and humbled to be a part of it, to be quite frank. And it's just a wonderful work that the Lord has done. And we're a small church, probably about 100 people or so. And, you know, we just are dedicated to the faithful exposition of God's Word and the teaching of Reformed theology. That's really what our church does. And we also, in our church, we have a very, we try to maintain, you know, a very strong evangelistic zeal and outreach in various ways. And so, we think that the Lord has really blessed us with life, and it's just a blessing to be there, as I said.
Well, praise God, and we'll be giving information later on how you can get a hold of Heritage Grace Church of Frisco, Texas, but I will also do that, provide you with that information now. HeritageGrace.com is their website, HeritageGrace.com. And we'll be repeating that later if you didn't have a pen or any way to write that down. Well, now let's hear about what Red Grace Media is all about. I have a feeling I know why you called it Red Grace, but I could be wrong. I'm thinking the blood of Christ. Does that have something to do with it?
No, actually, Red Grace actually is an abbreviation of the word redemptive grace. Yeah, so Redemptive Grace Media, we just thought, why don't we just call it Red Grace, because we like the word redemptive in there. And Red Grace Media, it was a ministry that I started some time ago, and really was more of a blog and became, you know, we explored with the podcasting and different things, and we upload YouTube videos, open-air preaching and stuff like that. And now we've even we've even published one of my books under Red Grace Media. You know, you open up my book and it says a publication of Red Grace Media, and we just have a team of editors that have graciously helped me out with a writing project, and so we hope to do more of that in the future. And then we also, you know, we also branched out into media like what you see with Unpopular. We wanted to do something on film. So, you know, at the moment, Red Grace Media is just, you know, we're not doing a whole lot in terms of daily ministry, but it is sort of an umbrella ministry for myself and others to operate under. So that's really what it is.
Great. And if anybody wants to look that up, you can go to redgracemedia.com, redgracemedia.com. I still like my explanation for the name Red Grace.
A lot of people get that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with redemptive grace either, because obviously that's all tied together with the blood of Christ. Well, now let's hear something about your upbringing, the religious upbringing that you have, if any, and the circumstances that the Lord providentially used in your life to draw you to himself and save you, and not only how you were saved by his providence, mercy, and grace, but also how you came to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Sure, sure. Well, no religious upbringing whatsoever. My mother was essentially pretty ignorant of spiritual things, and she dabbled a little bit in Jehovah's Witness church attendance and stuff like that for a little while, but saw that we weren't happy on Christmas, and so she pulled out of there. Yeah, she pulled out of there pretty quick.
Or your birthdays, or right. Any other day of joy.
My father was not religious at all himself. You know, I grew up with my father drinking. I used to drink with my father, and you know, we were just our entire family really devoid of God. As a matter of fact, the day that I got saved, I wrote every family member that I could think of. I wrote their name down on a piece of paper, and I think on both sides of the family was something like 150 people that I could remember. And not a single Christian is what I wrote on papers. Not one Christian. And so I was, to my knowledge at that time, I was the only one. And so I was, you know, I grew up in Southern California, and I was immediately drawn to the wrong crowd kind of thing. I grew up around gangs and drugs and, you know, parties and stuff like that and violence and, you know, all those sorts of things. And when I was 19 years old in 1996, you know, I had been doing various drugs for days at a time at this point, and just through all sorts of demonic activity, really, I was really, really brought to the realization, I think for the first time, of my sin and my misery before God, and that I needed forgiveness, and I needed salvation, and that it just, I became acutely aware of my sin and the reality of hell. I mean, I would joke about it, and I would, you know, sensationalize it, but for the first time, I think I finally came to the conclusion that I was headed there, and I remember just not being okay with that. And so, at that time, my stepfather was something of a backslidden Christian, I guess I'd have to say, according to him. But you know, that around that time, I went to him because I didn't know anybody else who even had any semblance of knowledge of Christianity or the Bible. And he and I had talked here and there, but I went to him one night and just confessing my sin and you know, expressing my need to be saved, and God, you know, faithfully saved me the next few hours, I think, during that conversation. And, you know, I just immediately began trying to learn how to read the Bible. And part of that was that because I, you know, the way that I'd grown up, I didn't really know how to read much. So I couldn't really read my Bible. So I'd had to really work at reading, and I dropped out of high school probably I think I dropped out of high school mentally around junior high, but physically dropped out of high school my sophomore year. So I just didn't do any schooling. And so I had to really, really sort of, God had to renew my mind, so to speak, especially from all the drugs and everything that had happened. But God soundly saved me when I was 19 years old, and I actually ended up getting baptized in a Calvary chapel. I got saved in the summer of 96, and I was baptized that summer, and that began a journey of studying the scripture. I can honestly say that, you know, immediately after being saved, I had an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. And, you know, very early on, you talk about the doctrines of grace. Very early on, I picked up a Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. And, at that time, I had no idea what Reformed theology was or what Calvinism was, or, you know, I had no concept of any of these camps or categories. I just knew that I'd read that little booklet, and, you know, everything that it said was, you know, powerfully brought home to me by the Spirit of God, and I knew that that was my religion. But I didn't know until probably a few years later that, you know, Edwards stood in a tradition that I would ultimately want to be a part of in mm-hmm. theology. So, but yeah, I, you know, in talking about the doctrines of grace, you know, obviously being brought up in Calvary Chapel after I got saved, you know, Calvary Chapel is not a Calvinist denomination.
Right. Can sometimes be vehemently anti-Calvinist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I just sort of took the pastor's word for, you know, face value for what they told me, you know, for several years. And then I just kept reading and I kept, you know, and I keep stumbling upon all the classic passages like Romans 9, Ephesians 1, John 6, you know, all these passages. And I'm thinking, like, this doesn't really square with what I'm being taught, you know. And then it wasn't until after going through some biblical Greek, actually at a Calvary Chapel where I was at, there was a brother there that was teaching Greek and all the way to textual criticism, and so we did that, and it was after analyzing very specific texts of Scripture that I came to the conclusion that the doctrines of grace were indeed exegetically valid.
Amen. How did your friends and loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ with Calvary Chapel react to your transition by the grace of God into Reformed theology?
Well, you know, obviously you kind of had a mixed reaction. I mean, there was, you know, Calvary Chapel is an interesting sort of church denomination because there are so many Calvinists at Calvary Chapel at any given moment. I think it's James White who says that nobody produces more Calvinists than Calvary Chapel.
Same thing with Bob Jones University. As one friend once put it when he was asked by a former faculty member at Bob Jones University why he converted to Calvinism, because he was a student there. And why did you convert to Calvinism? And he said, because Bob Jones University teaches the Bible. mm-hmm. And Calvary Chapel is very Bible-centered. And God's grace takes his word, and he does what he wills with it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, to Calvary Chapel's credit, you know, having been there for several years, you know, especially under Chuck Smith, I was at Costa Mesa for several years with Chuck Smith. He baptized me, and he was my pastor for several years. And to his credit, you know, I regard him to be a man of God. I disagree with him on soteriology, obviously, and a lot of other things. But you know,
he is a Calvinist now.
Yeah, he knows now. But if you think about what Chuck Smith accomplished in his life, I mean, every 7 years he would teach the entire Bible. And the week that he died, you know, he died on a Wednesday, I believe, and that Sunday prior, he preached three services. And he did that for, you know, decades.
Wow.
And so, you know, he's to be commended, and Calvary Chapel in many ways is to be commended. But because of their emphasis, like you said, on the Bible, you know, because they reject liberalism, which is a good thing, and they just want to bring us back to authentic Christianity, well, it just exposes the child of God to the scriptures systematically, and then what you come across with is, you know, the inevitable conclusion that the sovereignty of God is actually taught in the Bible exactly the way the Reformers say it is.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to make sure that I make it clear, I didn't want to sound like I was besmirching Calvary Chapel, because there's a wide range of attitudes towards Calvinism and Calvinists. They're not all all vehemently anti-Calvinist.
Yeah.
Some are, and probably a lot of them are, but not all of them. Some of them are very gracious. In fact, I don't know if you remember the late Peter Jeffrey, who's now in heaven for eternity, but he was a Welsh Reformed Baptist who used to make trips to the United States. For a while, he was doing it every year, and he became a dear friend of mine. In fact, he was with my mother alone for about a half hour on her deathbed, and he gave me such great reassurance that he believed that she was saved, because my mother was Roman Catholic, and she had renounced all of the peculiar Roman Catholic things that were idolatrous or contradiction or in contradiction to the gospel. Peter was invited every year to Calvary chapels, and on occasion, those folks, in fact, I think a couple of those pastors became Reformed and left the Calvary Chapel. I do know that that is a phenomenon. In fact, one person who was involved in the college that Calvary Chapel runs, he was dismissed when he became a Calvinist. When Chuck Smith asked him, how did you become a Calvinist, he said, well, you know those books in the library that were written by Calvinists? I read them. They are being used of the Lord to bring the lost to Christ. And they are also are one of the few groups today in the 21st century that would stand alongside many within the Reformed community and fundamentalist community that oppose Roman Catholicism and reject ecumenical relationships with Roman Catholics. That is, Roman Catholics who are faithful to Trent.
Yeah, no, they are Calvary Chapel is soundly evangelical. There's no question about that.
Amen. Well, when did you realize and how did you realize that you had a call put upon your heart to actually be a pastor?
You know, honestly, I think that, I guess the issue was sort of germane for me, but it was very early on. I would venture to say probably maybe within the first year of my walk with the Lord, because it was just the hunger for truth and the hunger for the Word and my desire to communicate that to people, you know, my family, my friends, coworkers, and all of that. And then when I started realizing that there's, you know, such a thing as theology and there's hermeneutics and there's a proper way to interpret the Bible and, you know, there's a necessity to interact with the original languages and all of that. And, you know, I just, because of my hunger to do it all, so to speak, I recognize that I think where God is calling me is ultimately to exposit the Word of God, because that's kind of what I like to do in my mind. And it didn't take long before I was given opportunities to do that. So I don't know, just very early on, I would say.
Praise God. Well, by the way, I remember you mentioning in your youth, before your salvation, you were prone to hang around members of gangs and so forth. I immediately remembered when I was interviewing a former member of the Latin Kings way back when I was doing my show from New York on WNYG and WGBB Radio on Long Island. And this brother who was in the studio telling me his testimony of getting saved in prison after leaving the Latin Kings and actually getting married to a Christian woman in the prison by the warden, who was a Christian. But I remember telling him, I was sitting right next to him, and I said, you know, I used to be in a gang myself. And he says, really? His eyes bugged up, and I said, yeah, I used to be in a gang called the Calvinist Crusaders. We used to break into Arminian churches and rewrite the words in their hymnals. But anyway, I'm very excited about this movie, the Unpopular, the movie. I've seen it. It is excellent. And I think this is going to be a helpful tool for sharing the gospel with lost family, friends, and loved ones, and also for equipping Christians on how to properly evangelize. The main focal points that one should be aware of, because sometimes the Christian faith, not only for the unbeliever but for the new believer, it can seem like a daunting task to even try to plumb the depths of a very deep religion. But there is also, obviously, very simple and simple yet powerful truths that are contained within our faith. Obviously, the Lord, by design, made the gospel a simple thing to comprehend. But you have it broken up in different parts, and you have different speakers addressing each of those parts. And tell us why. This is an obvious reason why, actually, because it's something that your average unbeliever will immediately throw in your face, and rightfully, if they're not regenerate and they don't truly have a heart beating for Christ. It's a logical question, but the issue that James White addresses: how can I trust the Bible? Tell us why you included that, and how, in summary, this is addressed.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the video that's on the website in terms of how to trust the Bible. Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we thought that's important because, you know, like you said, I mean, frequently asked questions by unbelievers is just, you know, concerning the tenacity of Scripture. And I think that's always a point that the church is going to have to defend and know how to defend. And I think James White's good at it. So we thought we would ask him simple questions so that he can answer that, you know, and begin to express the superiority of Scripture, especially in comparison to anything else. And just to really show people, like, that there are actually answers to these simple questions. You know, they're simple questions, but they're profound because they elicit, at times, a lengthy, in-depth response. And the response is really rich because we can talk about manuscript evidence, we can talk about the historicity of the Bible, we can talk about all of those things, but at the end of the day, as you know, I mean, it just boils down to the self-authenticating, you know, self-validating claims of Scripture itself, and whether or not a person, by faith, comes to experience the power of God through the gospel. And so I think that I wanted to answer some of those questions because they're so common, but at the end of the day, you know, just making it clear that it still, you know, it requires you to repent and believe. You know, because you could believe the Bible is reliable and still go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, there are obviously even biblical scholars who could recite from memory without even looking at a written word great lengthy portions of the Bible, and they can know theology, and they may even have a mental assent to the truthfulness of it, but they could still be as damned can be, as James points out in his epistle. You can know facts and yet have a dead, cold, rock-like heart.
Yeah, or you can be like the Pharisees who seek the Scriptures vociferously and yet fail to see Christ.
Amen. And, you know, people, you know, it's even amazing when you hear liberal scholars. I'm not talking about your average person who will repeat, mm-hmm. Their nonsense as best as they can remember how to repeat it. But even these people who have all kinds of degrees, and they will say that the Bible is no more reliable than ancient works of mythology, and it's not reliable and trustworthy, because they will compare it to the game of telephone, where one person whispers something into another person's ear, and then by the time it goes through a line of 10 to 20 people, the last person is repeating something that's entirely different from the first person. So they'll try to compare things like that to the inerrant Scriptures. But even, it's interesting, as you may remember, Bart Ehrman, the former Christian who became an apostate and an agnostic, who is a textual critic, he even admitted, after kind of being backed into a corner with James White, that the manuscript evidence that we have in an overwhelming amount of historical data from that proves the authenticity, that what we have is very close to the first century's manuscripts of scripture. They make other works of antiquity pale into insignificance as far as the reliability and the amount of archaeological data and so on.
Yeah, he's quoted as saying that in terms of manuscript evidence, the Bible has an embarrassment of riches compared to anything else in antiquity. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Emilio Ramos, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And that, once again, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Emilio Ramos and more of a discussion on Unpopular, the movie. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation, with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Solid Ground Christian Books wants you to know that in addition to the leather edition of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, They now have finally got back in stock the leather edition of the Three Forms of Unity, another very important confessional document of the Reformed faith that everyone should get their hands on, regardless of whether they are from the Dutch Reformed branch of the Reformation or not. It is a priceless document, in addition to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, which is, as many of you know, nearly identical to the Westminster Confession of Faith used by the Presbyterians. By design, it is nearly exactly identical. But if you go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, you could place your order for the Three Forms of Unity, for the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith in leather, and for many, many other items that they have there. Please tell Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, that you heard about that ministry from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, welcome back. We have as our guest today for the full program Emilio Ramos, pastor of Heritage Grace Church in Frisco, Texas, and founder of Red Grace Media, and author of Convert from Adam to Christ and Crucified, the Soul of the Gospel. And today we are addressing Unpopular, the movie. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before I go to any listener questions, just wanted to ask you something. We who are Reformed, it has something to do with what we were just mentioning before the break, that you can know the Bible. You might even be able to memorize the entire Bible from cover to cover. I don't know if anybody's actually successfully done that, but even if you had that ability, that in and of itself would not save you. Do we not need, as dead sinners, a miracle of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in order for our eyes, ears, minds, and hearts to be opened, and to even understand in a saving way the scriptures, in order for us to fall in love with them and embrace them?
Amen. Was that a question to me?
Yeah, I was asking you a question because some people who, there have been actually some, I think, some fairly outlandish statements made by leaders in the Christian church outside of the Reformed faith who have even dared to say, if you explain the Bible correctly and the gospel correctly, the lost will come to Christ. And if they don't, it's really because you've messed up in some way.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. We believe in the reality of monergism. And so we believe that God has to give life to those who are dead in their sin. So regeneration precedes faith, and therefore we understand that salvation is all of God, not some of God, but all of God, and that man is exactly what Scripture says that he is. He is dead in his sin. He's desperately sick, and he cannot remedy his own condition. I mentioned this repeatedly in the movie Unpopular. That's something that we wanted to drive home, was the impotence of man, just man's complete bankrupt, soul, and just the idea that our popular culture today tells us is that whether they're trying to emphasize human reason, whether they're trying to emphasize human goodness or some social justice point or something like that, we simply cannot afford for people to be misguided and misled as to man's true condition, because without understanding your sin and your misery and your death-like state before God, then you won't see the need for the cross. It just the cross is just going to be sort of a therapeutic self-help program, and it's not going to be that salvation, that foreign righteousness that you so desperately need. So, yeah, absolutely. We believe wholeheartedly in supernatural regeneration that needs to take place for people to know Christ.
And having said that, the need for regeneration for our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to truly be open to the Scripture, we still, nonetheless, believe in the perspicuity of Scripture, and we believe that
yes.
those things that men need to know are simple enough to understand. Not saying that the entire Bible is easy enough for any person to fully understand on his own without teachers, because the Bible, the very Bible we are speaking about, that is God-breathed, requires
no.
that we have teachers. But it is,
yes.
by design, as far as the salvific portions of this word, it is by design, by God's design, understandable to even the average person.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It is. It's. I mean, the book of Hebrews speaks of the elementary things. And there are things that, you know, anybody can understand. It doesn't take a genius to get the very basic, you know, gist of the gospel message in the Bible. Children can, you know, understand the Bible. Anybody that is, you know, rationally cognitive can understand the simple message of Christianity and how to find salvation. So we definitely believe in the perspicuity of Scripture. And but what we don't believe in is that, as perspicuous as it is up to human reason or human will or volition to then, you know, sort of bring yourself up to a point where you can, on the basis of your own merit or something you've done, be right with God.
Amen. And we have one other thing that you've put in the list of very important topics on the website, on the unpopularthemovie.com website. You have Paul Washer addressing the sin struggle. If you could give us a summary of that as well.
Well, you know, the website functions in conjunction to the film because, you know, the hope is that people will watch the film, as thousands already have, and that if they begin to become curious about Christianity, we thought we better talk about some of the things that are sort of common questions that are be asked. And, you know, what if someone converts and immediately wants to know more? Well, I think one of the sort of the most important topics to discuss is, you know, our struggle with sin. And so I thought who better qualified maybe to do that than Paul Washer, you know, and really sort of go into an examination of the heart and what does sanctification look like. And, you know, he's written some really helpful volumes on the doctrine of man and things like that, and where he gets into some of these things about the struggle with sin. And so we thought it would be important to just to let people know that, you know, we believe in the Reformed dictum, right, that you are simultaneously saint and sinner, justified and sinner. So just because you are forgiven, just because you have become born again, that does not mean that there will not be indwelling sin that you will not have to put to death for the rest of your life, and we'll have to struggle with it, and we'll have to, you know, in the context of progressive sanctification, you will have to be putting your sinful deeds to death. So we just thought it was important to include that.
Yeah, it's obviously the very issue keeping the lost from Christ, and also keeping even Christians from living as obediently as they could by the grace of God in this life. That is a thing that has puzzled and has created debates even amongst the body of Christ, or the members of the body of Christ, of the fact that we are, before salvation, sinners, and in fact, totally depraved. And I'm sure you would agree that that does not mean that we are as bad as we could be, but that means that every aspect of our lives is enslaved by sin, and we cannot even please God at all, even in our decisions or actions while we are still in the flesh.
Yeah.
But then when we become saved, we are called new creatures or new creations, and the old man has died, and we have been raised to newness of life in Christ, and yet this sin problem still plagues us. But isn't the key difference here that the sin that a Christian is plagued with the sin that constantly is a thorn in the Christian's flesh until he is in heaven, the sin that embarrasses him and brings him great remorse and sadness. The difference is that he is no longer enslaved to it. Wouldn't that be the one of the key differences anyway?
Sure. No, I think you hit it right on the head. I think the difference is the difference between the dominion of sin versus the presence of sin and the ongoing struggle with sin. Dominion means that you are helpless in your sinful state, where the Christian is no longer helpless. Now the Christian has the power through the Spirit and the Word to combat sin in his life or her life. And so we can, you know, it's just simple, maybe a simple illustration coming full circle to my testimony is shortly after I was saved, I went back and I evangelized some of my closest friends, many of them through tears. And I remember telling one of my good friends, I said, you know, you're such a slave to sin. I said, I bet you can't stop cursing for 2 minutes. And the first thing he said was a curse word, denying that he would not curse. So I said, see, I told you. And that's such a parable of the distinction, right? Whereas if I, as a Christian, if I were to curse, not only would I have the conviction of the Spirit, I would have the power of repentance. And so that's the difference.
Amen. And wouldn't you say that another difference between the unregenerate sinning and the Christian sinning is that if somebody is truly regenerate, when they are conscious of a sin that they've committed, it will grieve them. Now, I'm not saying that sin never grieves the unregenerate. It does. As even in the scriptures, we hear that Judas repented, but he did not actually have a saving repentance. There is a remorse that can come about as an unregenerate person. But it is a guarantee for the Christian that he certainly will eventually come to grief and repentance over his sin.
Yeah, that's right. We grieve the Spirit by which we were sealed, and so we definitely when a sinner like Judas is remorseful, they are not remorseful for Christ's sake. You know, they are remorseful for their misery. They're remorseful for their, you know, having been caught. They're remorseful for the misery that it's brought on other people. But they are not remorseful for Christ's sake, and that's the difference. You know, that as a believer, we understand that we have not just upset our environment, but that we have offended our Father and our Savior and our Lord. So it's a big difference.
Now, this is also an issue that divides the body of Christ. Those of us who are Reformed believe in something called the perseverance and preservation of the saints. Now, I know that there are those that profess to be Reformed that do not consistently hold to this doctrine in the way that they teach and evangelize, which brings me great sadness. But for the most part, it is an issue that historically Calvinists have believed that if you are truly a child of God, if you are born again, born from above, if you have a new heart that has been given to you by Christ, a heart of flesh that is beating with the life of the Holy Spirit, you will not live a life that is characterized by prolonged, unrepentant enslavement to sin. Every Christian sins, but we get up by the grace and mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we dust ourselves off and we press forward in the faith. Unlike what many Christians or professing Christians tell the lost when they're evangelizing them, that basically all you need to do is, quote, accept Jesus into your heart, and then, regardless of how you live for the rest of your lives, you don't have to worry about going to hell because you've made this confession of faith and accepted Jesus into your heart. But the latter that I just said, that's completely unbiblical in regard to the Christian who is perpetually carnal, the Christian who is unrepentant for his entire life and lives like Satan. This is not a true Christian at all, is it?
Yeah, no, because the gospel, or not the gospel, but the letters of John are very clear that, you know, he who has been born of God does not sin. And, of course, he clarifies that in chapter 3. What he means by that is he does not sin ever. He just does not practice sin. And so that is a lifestyle of sin. So that's why, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, talks about, you know, let him who steals steal no more, and, you know, and those kinds of things, because we cannot be characterized, you know, by the sphere of the flesh when we claim to be in the sphere of the Spirit. We can't, you know, even though, as you mentioned, you know, I think even the Westminster Confession talks about, you know, David and how that believers can, in the season of sin, commit even grievous sin, but they will at last repent, and they will be kept from final falling. And so that's the, you know, that's the difference. But, you know, certainly on a practical level, and, you know, obviously I experience this a lot as a pastor, but just in counseling people that, you know, that seem to have a proclivity towards one sin or another, and it just, you know, the Hebrews 12, you know, the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares you, as he talks about, you know, and just the practical ramifications of sin in your life for a believer, just the loss of power, the loss of assurance, the loss of peace. You know, those are really powerful forces in our hearts.
Yes, and we also want to make sure that we are not giving the idea that we are guilty of teaching the false doctrine of sinless perfection or sinless perfectionism.
Right.
There are those from the camp that adheres to carnal Christianity, cheap grace, easy believism, that would say you people believe in sinless perfectionism. And the irony is that somebody who in many areas was the polar opposite of a Reformed Christian, John Wesley, he is one that believed in that, not any Reformed person that I am aware of from history. But if you could make the distinction of what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. You have to, because we're definitely not obviously talking about a sinless perfection. As a matter of fact, you know, I think, you know, I would go so far as to say believers sin every day, and either word, thought, or deed. We fall short of the glory of God by virtue of our fallen condition, and even in a state of salvation, because we are yet to be glorified, you know, we are still, you know, susceptible to our sinful impulses and desires and false motives and, you know, thoughts that are impure. And, you know, I think those things can happen to everybody on a daily basis, but that is quite a different matter from, you know, living in willful, impenitent sin.
We have some listener questions that I will go to before we come to the point where I don't have time to take them all. So I'll just start with some of them. We have Lou from Sharpsburg, Georgia, who asks, I was wondering if Emilio saw the movie Fragments of Truth. If so, what are his thoughts?
I did not. I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, that is a film that Dr. White, who is a part of your film, is a part of. I have not yet seen it either. It has something to do with the manuscript evidence, I believe, that we were talking about before, or hence the term fragments. But so I guess that Emilio can't be helpful to you now, Lou, but perhaps write in again after he's seen the movie.
Oh, you know what's remarkable about the manuscript discussion is that I was recently at Daniel Wallace's home and found out he actually lives 5 minutes from my house.
Wow. you just found that out.
Yeah, I just found out. I mean, I knew he taught here in Dallas, but a mutual friend of ours had a meeting with him at his home regarding what this particular individual wanted to do. Was he wanted to accomplish some very specific things with Dr. Wallace, specifically wanting him to just make some very explicit, evangelically affirming statements about, you know, inerrancy and inspiration and the tenacity of Scripture and the manuscript evidence or whatnot. And he did that. And the conversation was revolving Islam. And so just for the sake of Islamic apologetics at a very high level, which means stuff that will not even be heard or said on debates or anything like that. But behind, I guess you would say, the Ivy League level of academics and stuff like that. It was really a fascinating meeting. But yeah, we know what Daniel Wallace is doing with the manuscripts and how he's photographing them and he's digitizing all of them. It's really remarkable.
Cool. Thanks, Lou. Keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and beyond. Let's see here. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, do you know of any excellent Reformed resources in the Spanish language that I can use as evangelistic tools to those of my friends and family and neighbors who are either bilingual or who solely speak Spanish?
I would send them to my friend's website, who is a pastor, missionary, soon to be here theologian, pursuing a PhD. He has a website called Cristianismo Biblico, cristianismobiblico.com. And if you go on there, his name is Joseph Urban, who is getting ready actually to do seminary, pursue seminary with Dr. Joe Beakey.
Dr. Beakey's a friend of mine, and I've interviewed him many times.
Yeah, he Joe Beakey endorsed my last book, Crucified. And I'm really excited for Joseph to go in there. But he has what makes Joseph's website so appealing for folks is that thankfully they have videotaped everything, all sorts of teaching seminars and expository preaching. I mean, at really, really high level. I know that Joseph himself is Reformed Baptist. And he's got a group of churches down there that he has founded. And really, as a matter of fact, I'm going there in November. Dr. Beakey actually was just there, and I'll be there in November preaching a conference on, the Trinity. And, but if they go to Cristianismo Biblico,
can you spell that?
Probably not.
Well, if anybody emails me or you later, we could make sure we get...
Cristianismo Biblico, and what I can do, Chris, is give you the link, and maybe you can put it on your notes or something.
Yeah, sure. And by the way, I am assuming that you are, because of your location, you're from a Mexican background, but I don't know that for a fact. Am I correct?
Yeah, I am.
One of the reasons I asked is that my precious late wife was from Santurce, Puerto Rico. She was born there, and her mom obviously was born there as well. And although she lived most of her life here in the States, but I was just curious about that. I do have, because of that, I have a very big place in my heart for evangelism to the Hispanic or Latin American community. I mean, you never know what to say during the politically correct hysteria. How to phrase those things?
Well, you know what's ironic is that when I go to Mexico to do these conferences with Joseph, Joseph is an all American boy from Ohio, and he went down there as a missionary. And in about 3 years, he became fluent in Spanish, and now he preaches exegetical sermons in Spanish. And when I go down there, he has to translate for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really impressive, actually. But I actually speak conversational Spanish, but, you know, to preach and exposit in Spanish, that's another level.
We have to go to...
It's not there.
We have to go to our midway break right now. And our midway break, as those of you who listen to this program often enough know, is a longer-than-normal break. We have to have a 12-minute break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this show also, they require that break for their own commercials and public service announcements and things. So please take this time to write questions for our guest, Emilio Ramos, but also take this time to write down the information that is provided by our advertisers so you could properly and successfully patronize them, because that's going to help keep our advertisers keeping this program on the air through their sponsorship dollars. And so please try to patronize our advertisers as often as you are able. But don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed, professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word.
An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line, typically Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. Eastern Time to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you call and nobody answers, call back the next day, if the next day is a weekday. Or you can order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And if you mention Chris Arnes in an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, when purchasing at least $50 worth of merchandise, not only will you get free shipping on everything you order, but you'll also get for free a book by E.M. Bounds, Prayerful and Powerful Pulpits. That's Prayerful and Powerful Pulpits by E.M. Bounds, absolutely free, from cvbbs.com. If you mention Chris Arnes in an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and order at least $50 worth of merchandise. We are discussing today the movie, Unpopular, the movie, with our guest Emilio Ramos, pastor of Heritage Grace Church of Frisco, Texas, and founder of Red Grace Media, and author of Convert from Adam to Christ and Crucified, the Soul of the Gospel. And we're also going to be talking about a visit to Israel that Emilio is conducting with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries this October. But before we return to our discussion, I just have a couple of important announcements tonight. First of all, the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference is going to be held next week from Tuesday, May 29th through Thursday, May 31st. I intend to be there. I am registered to be there, and I'm looking forward to being there in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania at Elizabethtown College. The speakers include Alistair Begg, Johnny Gibson, Mark Johnston, Al Mohler, David Strain, and Craig Troxell. If you would like to join me there at the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click events, and then click on U.S. Ministers Conference. Make sure you click U.S. and not U.K. because they also have U.K. conferences, one of which just came to an end very recently. So if you want the right information, click U.S. Ministers Conference at banneroftruth.org after clicking events. And that's on the theme, Ministers of Christ, next Tuesday through Thursday, May 29th through the 31st. Please tell Banner of Truth that you heard about their events and their ministry from Chris Arnes and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I've heard some complaints, by the way, that I drag this portion out a little bit too long, so I'm going to abbreviate it. But Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your donations. If you love the show, you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com and then click support. And then click to donate now. That way you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer the old-fashioned way using snail mail, you can send a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that pops up when you click support on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are going through some really rough times financially, and I want to thank from the very depths of my heart Linda and Glenn from Hilltop Lakes, Texas, for actually paying for the electric bill that is due tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We still have to pay rent and some very other important things. So please, if you really love the show and you don't want it to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and click to donate now. And you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card or by check through snail mail. And as I always try to say, and I'll keep this shorter than normal, but don't siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church. If you're not a member of a local church that believes in the scriptures and teaches the true gospel, then you have to find one to be obedient to God. So do that. I can help you. Send me an email if you're having a hard time finding a church wherever you are in the world. And please don't put your family in financial jeopardy, obviously, by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those are two commands of God. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please consider helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air by giving us giving to us as often as you can and as much as you can. And if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and we will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with the theology we express here. You don't have to believe identical with me. You just have to be promoting something compatible. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send a question for our guest Emilio Ramos. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Emilio, we have a question that I forwarded to you during the break. A questioner in Slovenia, Joe in Slovenia, who says, "Dear Brother Chris, have your guest unpack his thoughts about the current caving in on the topic of the biblical gospel by those who are claiming that racial reconciliation, multiculturalism, same-sex attraction, normalization, etc., are all gospel issues. Should we not be courageously proclaiming of the unpopular biblical gospel of reconciliation with God instead of the false yet popular gospel of social activism? Blessings to you both." That is Joe in Slovenia.
That's a wonderful question, and it's a question that I think that I interact with all the time. You know, let me just say, you know, prior to this show, I listened to one of your episodes just to try to get familiar with your show, and I clicked on the episode with Phil Johnson talking about, you know, the social gospel and racialism and all of that, which was a wonderful show, and you did a great job, and so did Phil. But it's, you know, I wholeheartedly support and, you know, wholeheartedly agree with what Phil did in that show. You know, our church at Heritage Grace, we're a very diverse church. Matter of fact, we recently had a family join our church and become members of our church from Nigeria, and the brother walked in and he said, "I've never seen so many reformed black guys in my life." And, he's like, "I don't even know what to do with myself." And but you know, I've even had pastors ask me, you know, "What are you doing to make your church diverse? Or how did you get?" I mean, basically, they're asking me, "How did you get so many black people to come to your church?" And you know, the answer to that question is absolutely nothing. We don't do anything to try to be diverse or anything like that.
In other words, you don't use gimmicks, is what you're saying?
No gimmicks. There's no gimmicks. We don't try to sort of flaunt that or advertise that or make that a point of, "Hey, look at us." It just needs to happen, you know, naturally, or just God is sovereign over that. And we're delighted to be diverse. But diversity has become almost like a badge of spirituality, and I think it's unfounded. There's no reason to seek out diversity. I don't think we need to go on a social justice campaign of racial reconciliation. I think the minute that you start going down these different avenues, you begin to sort of move the center in your church. And before you know it, you're developing programs and curriculum, and you're starting to talk a certain way, and you're starting to advance certain agendas. And before you know it, you've lost the all-important center of Christ crucified and making Christ the center of our church. You know, on our website for our church, you know, we've gone so far, and this might be the most controversial thing I'll say all show, but we go so far as to say our church is not family integrated. And what we mean by that is that we don't have an agenda to make you a family integrated type of person. And strangely enough, our church service is family integrated. You know, our children stay in the service, But there's just, you know, whether it's the family, whether it's race, whether it's social justice, whether it's, you know, trying to target, you know, different classes, the minute you make something the emphasis in your church that is other than Christ and the gospel, you will become unbalanced. And so I think that we need to be careful there, of course. And then, of course, as far as the question goes, I don't believe in any compromise whatsoever. You know, I preach on college campuses over here at Texas, and I talk to homosexuals all the time. I don't know if most people really do in the church, but I'm constantly having conversations with homosexual men and women. And, you know, the vast majority of those men and women, they know homosexuality is wrong. Their conscience smites them. I had a young man once pull me aside and through tears was confessing to me that he knew that he was enslaved to his sin and that he did not want to continue down this destructive path of homosexuality. And let me tell you, it is destructive. And these people know that their sexual deviance is wrong. They know that it's sin. They know that it's something they'll have to give an account for. So when I say that it's unfounded, it's really wrongheaded to compromise at all with the gospel. It assumes that by compromise, you are going to get the favoritism of the world or something like that. The reality is that we've sort of overlooked the cultural consciousness of our society. I think it's much more Christian than people actually think, because I'm at a hyper liberal campus, and even there, the consensus is, you know, postmodernism. But even there, people see that it's wrong, and they know that it's something that contradicts God's word, and they don't really try to hide that. They just more or less say, well, I don't care. That's really what boils down to now. People are not so much trying to say, well, the Bible's okay with it. More than anything, there's just a flat-out rejection of God's authority.
Yeah, Romans 1 tells us that all men do know that they are rebelling against him, but they suppress the truth.
Yes, sir.
And
that's right.
I was unaware that a lot of those were a considerable portion of those who are demanding certain repentance or acknowledgement of racism from the white population, which, you know, there are people who are second or third generation immigrants whose families immigrated here long after slavery was abolished, and they are being demanded to ask forgiveness for slavery. But, you know, some of these things don't make sense.
Yeah.
But I was unaware that some of these folks were also asking for normalization of same-sex attraction. That's obviously completely evil, because the Apostle Paul makes it clear that not only are the unrepentant homosexuals going to be damned, but those who give them hearty approval as well.
That's right.
But at the same time, I don't think that, I mean, it depends on what kind of level of attention or priority you give to social activism. I mean, those of us who believe in the right to life of the unborn are involved typically or very often in some kind of social activism. I don't think that social activism in and of itself is wrong. And I also think that we can't fool ourselves into thinking that racism as a sin has disappeared from the planet. But we have to preach about that from our pulpits. And one of the important aspects where these social justice warriors are getting it all wrong and are guilty of the wickedness of pride and arrogance and of racism themselves is when they say that only white people are guilty of this sin. You know, that's not only sinful in and of itself and racist in and of itself, it's actually sort of insane. to say that because of somebody's melanin content, they can be, or lack thereof, they are the sole bearers of the responsibility for the sin of racism. It's just crazy, and it's not only crazy from a biblical point of view, but it's even crazy when you just look around you and you watch the media and you see hatred oozing out of people, no matter what color their skin is, for other people. In fact, we were talking about earlier your Mexican background and my late wife and her mother being from Puerto Rico. I have met quite a number of Hispanics, even those that profess Christ, who despise other Spanish-speaking people from different Latin countries.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, with a seething hatred.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, I mean, it's really catering to somebody's own sin when you tell them that they are off the hook for being responsible for racism just because they happen to have a darker skin color. That's just crazy and dead wrong.
Yeah. And you also have the issue that, you know, the Apostle Paul and the apostles, they faced all these issues. I mean, F.F. Bruce says that the racial tensions, I think he says the cleavage between Jew and Gentile is the most hostile ethnic division that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And that was overcome not by having conversations about racial reconciliation, but by preaching Christ crucified. So that's what I mean by, you know, I think what people are asking, and the compromise that the question is asking, is totally misguided, and it really makes us sound like the world.
Yeah, it certainly does. It's just the whole thing is tragic, and I think one of the most tragic and despicable things that is oozing out of this controversy is when brethren in Christ are being publicly slandered for a sin, namely racism, that is a damnable sin. I mean, we are not undermining the severity of the sinfulness of racism, but it's wicked to be calling people out and claiming that they are guilty of this sin, that this sin is actually something that rules their lives and enslaves them, when that's totally not true in regard to these particular people, and you're murdering their reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, I was, you know, I don't think evangelicalism has any business having a conference on Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard during that program that I did with Phil Johnson, but a dear friend of mine who's now in heaven, a black brother in Christ and pastor, Robert J. Cameron, one of the main reasons that he finally left the denomination that he was in was because a prominent church within that denomination celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and they were not chastised or disciplined or given any correction at all by the denomination or the presbytery. And he is a black man, and he left that denomination because he knows and knew that Martin Luther King Jr., although in many ways should be treated as an American hero, he should not be treated as a Christian hero and be celebrated by a church. Just as white, predominantly white congregations and denominations shouldn't be celebrating as a church Benjamin Franklin Day or something. Right. You know, I mean, obviously he was not a Christian either. And there are many white American heroes that were not Christian.
I think that we need to guard our heart against any semblance or any form or any sort of impulse of racism in our own heart. And if our heart has any of that present, I think we should be, you know, ready to renounce that and to kill that which is sinful in us, put it to death and mortify that part of the flesh. But at the same time, we also should be careful that we do not overlook the power of the gospel to change the hearts of men and begin to adopt this sort of hypersensitivity and to the point where we expect almost in a over-realized eschatological way, thinking that in this world, you know, that our duty is to rid the world of racism while we're here. That's a noble cause, just like ridding the world of abortion. But that is not our main point or the main purpose of our existence. Neither is it our missional mandate.
Right. And especially the worst way you can go about trying to end racism is through racist rhetoric. Because that's just that's all that is doing is inciting and fueling and fanning the flames of racism when you yourself are behaving and speaking as a racist, and when you are denying that there is any guilt for this sin amongst you or people who look like you. Just absolutely, I can't even.
That's a good question. It's a good question, and it was a good question. And it's a good topic that, you know, is going to be needs to be discussed. And I think it's something that, unfortunately, as a church moving forward, at least in the foreseeable future, we're going to have to combat this. We're going to have to deal with this. This is something we're going to have to engage in the foreseeable future, because this you know, it's politically it's a super hot button. Politically, it's an easy way to divide people. It's an easy way to get people charged up for your point of view, and you know, that tends to spill over into the church conversation, and then it doesn't help that you have voices within the church, even at times Calvinist Reformed type churches, that continue to fuel the same sort of talking points that you tend to find on CNN or something.
We are going to our last break right now, and I forwarded you an email from another listener, because it was a very, very lengthy question. Ted from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I already forwarded that to you, and you can respond to it when we come back. This is our final break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Emilio Ramos.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget Solid Ground Christian Books for Father's Day coming up right around the corner, and any other special day where you're buying gifts for loved ones. Why not give a gift that God can use to bring that person to eternal life? Go to solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com. Of course, God can touch the heart of a person if you give them a toaster, but God can do anything he wants to do. But why not use something that's specifically evangelistic in nature or something that is teaching the truths of God in the next gift you give, or gifts, plural. And we thank so much Solid Ground Christian Books for being faithful sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We would likely not exist without their financial support. I also want to thank our friends at Solid Rock Remodeling, who you just heard in an ad. I just heard yesterday from a listener in Newville, Pennsylvania, that she is absolutely thrilled with the phenomenal work that was done on her house by Solid Rock Remodeling. And I want to thank whoever you are out there in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, who recently used Solid Rock Remodeling as a result of hearing their ad on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and anybody else out there who has patronized them. Your patronage of our advertisers is helping us remain on the air, because obviously it's going to be a lot easier for sponsors to support this program if you are financially helping them through your patronage. So we thank all of you for patronizing our sponsors. Please keep doing it, and please keep donating whenever you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back to our final 24 minutes or so of the program. And if you'd like to join us on the air, do so now or forever hold your peace, because we're running out of time. The email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, says, there was a story that came out of your wife's Fish with Trish segment on Todd Friel's show from a few years ago. Supposedly, Todd called her live on the show, and when she answered her cell phone, she was in the process of sharing the gospel with a man named Aaron who had just heard you preaching the gospel on the campus of the University of North Texas. According to one of his own tweets, Todd asked Trish to pass him the phone so that he could share the gospel with Aaron, which was precisely what she was already doing. Some listeners interpreted this as a reaction against a woman sharing the gospel with a man when there was a perfectly good man standing by who could do it without being unseemly. Do you remember this incident? If so, what was Todd's motivation for asking, for taking over from Trish? Obviously, you can't read Todd Friel's mind, but why don't you respond to this just as a matter of general practice, what your interpretation of this is, or what your response to this is?
Well, I don't remember this incident at all. And if the person asking the question was listening to a segment while I was preaching, so I couldn't have been around. But no, the other thing is, like you said, I'm not going to speak to Todd Friel's motive. I mean, I think Todd Friel doesn't have any imbalance when it comes to, you know, women sharing with men one-on-one the gospel or something like that. I think we would agree, he and I, on the limitations of women in evangelism in terms of women open-air preaching or something like that, which I do not support. But no, I don't remember this particular incident.
Well, sorry we couldn't help you any further than that, Ted, but thanks for listening, and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and beyond. I want to get back to some of the main subjects of the Christian faith that you lay out in the website for Unpopular the Movie as an aid for people who want more information about the Christian faith and the gospel after seeing the movie. And you have various videos and teachers. In fact, you have Ken Ham featured on this website, and I was so thrilled very recently, just about a week or two ago, to get a phenomenal endorsement from Ken Ham for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I've been waiting for years for it, actually, but this was the first time I actually had Ken's personal email address, so I think that's what expedited it after my last interview with Ken. But the Bible and science are incompatible? That's what your average person would likely say to you. I have heard that innumerable times. And in a person's mind, well, if science disproves Christianity, Christianity must be nothing more than myth, legend, and fairy tales, just something to help people feel better about this world while they're still living in it. But it really has no genuine truth or importance, especially when it apparently, to them, conflicts with science. But if you could talk about that for a little bit.
Ken was gracious enough to give us an interview. We were actually at the ARC at one of the opening days of the ARC, and CNN had just interviewed Ken Ham, and we came in right after they did, and he was terribly busy that day, but he graciously gave us a good chunk of time to interview him. They also carry my book, Convert, From Adam to Christ, at the Creation Museum. So there was a little bit of connection there between Ken and I, but other than that, once I explained to him what it is that we wanted to do with Unpopular and how we wanted to get it in the hands of a lot of young people in college, and but then, you know, all over the world type of thing. You know, I'll come back to your question here, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, recently at the Shepherd's Conference down MacArthur, a couple of different missionaries came up to me, one from China and one from the Ukraine, and both of them told me that they are spreading Unpopular everywhere, and
wow.
They're having all sorts of different testimonies, and the missionary from Ukraine says we're spreading this to thousands of people in the Ukraine, and so I was just really, really encouraged by that. Same thing with the missionary from China. He says we're finding ways, you know, if the government takes it down, we'll put it back up in a different way, but we're getting it to people in Mandarin, and, you know, China's going to be exposed to this message. And I was like, wow, I was just so thrilled by that. But once again, I mean, we interviewed Ken Ham because we thought of all the people inquiring, you know, when it comes to the Bible and science, I mean, that's going to be one of the points that people constantly ask, and, you know, especially with evolution everywhere and stuff like that, and who better to do that than Ken Ham. I'm a big fan of Ken Ham's. I think he's really solid on that. I think that, you know, Ken has been consistent throughout the years, just being uncompromised in his support of the biblical account of Genesis and young earth creationism, which that's my position as well. I know there's a lot of good brothers that don't agree with that, but that's certainly my position. And I just think Ken was the right guy to do that and hopefully to clarify some of the common misconceptions about the Bible and science. But I think that's really important.
Well, the thing that's interesting is that very often, not always, but very often, when these confrontations, especially if it has to do with a public debate or something like that, between a creationist, a Christian who believes in intelligent design, etc., and a secular scientist, especially one that's an atheist or agnostic and Darwinian, it's amazing how you will very often find the Christian bringing up more actual science than the Darwinian evolutionist, as Ken Ham has done even in his debate with Bill Nye, who is not really a scientist, even though he's publicly connected with science. People think he's a scientist, but he's not. But Ken was bringing up observable science, and so much of secular science and Darwinian evolution is based on theory, and theory even more spectacular and fantastic than some of the miracles in the Bible. I mean, you really have to have, as they have, I'm not the first to say this, this is an often repeated phrase, but you need more faith to be a Darwinian evolutionist than you need to be a Christian or a biblicist.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, so you don't believe everything that you hear in the name of science is actually true. People treat the issue of evolution, for instance, as if this is true because it's been proven by them, by scientists. And you'll even hear political pundits and TV news hosts laughing at conservative political candidates because if they say that they don't believe in evolution, and they'll laugh and mock them as if this is some kind of a proven fact, like the fact that the planet Earth is a sphere rather than a flat Earth or something. And in fact, they will put us all in the same basket as flat Earth lunacy. And they will act as if these things like the evolution of man from pond scum has been proven, and it's nothing even remotely close has been proven.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah, I deal with evolution all the time on college campuses. I personally don't have a whole lot of tolerance for the debate because I think it's silly, right? But at the end of the day, so many kids are believing, you know, they parrot all these points. They don't really know them themselves. They just parrot all these Darwinian points, you know, and they, in the process, it's just to support, ultimately, their postmodern worldview. But if you take postmodernism to its ultimate conclusion, then science itself is impossible, which is not something that's, you know, really friendly to their position.
Right.
They try to have it both ways.
Right. And something that is a very important issue and a very controversial issue, even within Christendom, is the issue of church membership. That's something that you actually address on a video on the unpopularthemovie.com website. It's something It's something that even divides professing believers in Christ. There are a lot of professing Christians who find it more tolerable and comfortable and some would even go to the extreme of saying it's the actual appropriate way to live. To go around to basically live out your life without being officially attached to a local congregation, without being officially placed under the authority of elders in a local church. Some would either bounce from church to church to church just to hear preaching and to be edified by it, and then will quickly escape any connection with that church. Or some of those individuals won't even darken the door of a church and will have perhaps Bible studies in their home or something, if even that. But why is church membership so important?
Well, church membership is important for several reasons, and the way that I like to talk about it with folks is the simple three categories that are just absolutely prerequisites for biblical Christianity in the context of the church, as we're thinking about ecclesiology. But, you know, shepherds have to be able to identify their sheep. Sheep have to be able to identify the shepherds, and sheep have to be able to identify the other sheep. And so if you don't have these demarcations of identity where you can clearly identify, let's say for a pastor, I've gone to non-membership churches where the pastors have asked me, I can't use the word member because they don't have membership, but as one who regularly attended, I had pastors asking me, does so-and-so go to our church? Well, you're the pastor. You should know who goes to your church. But that's what happens when you don't have membership. It's impossible to enter into some, you know, formal, responsible sort of community with other people in the context of Christian worship. And I think membership is God's will for the life of all of his people. You know, I often say in Hebrews chapter 12, when the author of Hebrews speaks of the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, I thought, well, if there's a heavenly role, then there must be an earthly role. And so we have to have church roles. I mean, without church roles, you have anarchy. And so I definitely am a very strong proponent of church membership. I just think it's mature and responsible Christianity.
And it's commanded in Scripture that we are to be under the authority of our leaders, under the authority of the elders in the local church.
And, yes, sir.
And also, you know, it's condemned to forsake the assembling of the brethren. And that's more than just visiting a church. I mean, you cannot conduct proper exegesis of the New Testament and come up with that conclusion. Before we run out of time, I obviously want you to talk about your planned trip to Israel with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And I want you to come back many more times, but especially two more times to discuss your two books as topics in and of themselves, Convert from Adam to Christ and Crucified, the Soul of the Gospel. If you would like to come back, and unless you found your stay with me so miserable, you can't even think of returning to the show. I don't know, but I enjoyed it, and I look forward to you returning, and would like to discuss each of those books on two different shows. But tell us about the visit to Israel that you're planning with Dr. James R. White.
Well, first of all, yeah, I accept your invitation. Thank you for that. Yeah, we are in October 6th through the 16th. We're headed to Israel to tour the sites in Jerusalem and in other places. And for those of you that are interested in going, you know, I wanted to invite Iron Sharpens Iron audience to come along with us. If you have the availability and the means to go with us, we'd love to have you. We do have just a couple spots left over, and we're really trying to fill those spots with some like-minded brothers and sisters. And so I thought this would be a good platform to advertise Israel. And I know that people on your show are also, you know, they're also fans of James White. So Dr. White is going to be teaching for us. We're going to be having dinner, and then we're going to be having theology. So it's going to be or apologetics, and we're going to have a really amazing time, just an intimate time of fellowship and Bible study, and then on top of that, we're going to get all of this amazing historical background on Israel. And I've been there a couple of times, and it's fascinating, just being able to tour all of these different historical sites of the Bible. And then just to open your Bible gives you just a remarkable vantage point. And when you read Scripture and you're actually standing on Mount Carmel and you're there where Elijah, killed the prophets of Baal, and you're reading that passage as you're standing there, it's just a remarkable experience. Or where you're standing on the sea, you're standing on the shore of Galilee, and you're overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and you're reminded that Jesus did so much ministry here, and you're able to now have a real clear-cut topography of where he went and what he did and what it looked like, and there's just really nothing like it. So if your listeners are interested, they just go to heritagegrace.com, and they can go there and contact us. They can just go right onto the contact us, and they can call one of the staff members there, or one of the elders, and we will direct you to where you need to go to join us. So if you guys are available, we'd love to have you.
So Reformed Christians actually make trips to Israel. You're breaking stereotypes.
Yeah.
I know that James White has been to Brooklyn, New York, but has he been to Israel before?
He's never been to Israel before, but it's something he's always wanted to do, and so he just thought this would be the trip for him. So, he's a good friend, and I expect to have a really good time.
Great. And other than, is it just you and James speaking on this tour, or are there other speakers?
We have a couple other pastors that are going to be coming with us, that they will be doing they'll be doing, various devotional teachings at the sites and stuff like that. But, I think James and I will probably handle the bulk of it.
Great. Well, I hope that many of you take advantage, or actually many of you can't take advantage of it. Only a couple of you can, according to what you said. But perhaps the next time you do this, there'll be many more, hopefully, that will join you as a result of hearing about this from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now, before we go, if you could whet the appetite of our listeners for Convert from Adam to Christ and Crucified, the Soul of the Gospel, which God willing, will cover in two more shows.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, actually, the title is actually Convert, like a verb. So Convert from Adam to Christ is, it's a book that I wrote specifically on union with Christ and just showing how people, but it has an evangelistic thrust. And so what we're saying is that the purpose of evangelism is to take people out of Adam and everything that means and put them into Christ and everything that that means. And so in the chapter, we talk about what happens to a person in Adam and how does God look at people in Adam, and really to come to the realization that in God's economy, he only sees two different kinds of people. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And so, you know, to me, it was helpful to write that book and to study for that because it reminded me that evangelism is not just an isolated event where, you know, a Christian's off in a corner sharing the good news with somebody. It's part of a larger picture. And that picture is that through evangelism, obviously, and through the preaching of the gospel, God is creating a new humanity in Christ, a whole new humanity for a whole new world. And that, in a sense, really sort of elevates the view of evangelism and what you're actually part of. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we are God's helpers and fellow workers in his field. And so there's a real dignity that comes with evangelism. And so convert is actually the effort to try to get us to understand what really is our role when we participate in preaching the gospel, and why is Adam in the Bible and Christ is in that connection, why is that connection so crucial, so important? That's what convert is about. And crucified is a bit of a different book that sort of emphasizes, you know, it's called Crucified, the Soul of the Gospel, because it's taken from 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And so to really understand, what does that mean? What does it mean to make Christ the center? And how central is Christ and the cross to the overall program of theology in the Bible? And so I have chapters that sort of are broad sweeping chapters that deal with just the significance and the centrality of the cross and the theology of the cross and just how far reaching the theology of the cross really is to our theology and to our life practically. So that's sort of what those two books are about. They're both about Christology, and so I have to write something on a different topic, but it's almost like why should I?
Well, if anybody listening wants to get those books, cvbbs.com, our sponsors, one of our sponsors, cvbbs.com, you can order them from there, and if they don't have them in stock, they will get them for you. And just make sure you mention Chris Arnes and I am Sharp and Zion Radio when you're ordering them. And how do our listeners view Unpopular, the movie?
Just go to unpopularthemovie.com, and then what we like to tell people is, when you watch the movie, send it off to other people, because that's the point. You know, I created this film because the motivation behind it was to have a film like this that was 100% free and that was 100% accessible to anyone, anywhere. And that's why we want the link to go out to as many people as possible. I recently had somebody share with us that, matter of fact, a lady on her deathbed watched Unpopular and consequently professed Christ.
Wow.
Watching the film.
Wow, praise God.
We were so thrilled to hear that because we just don't know. And this is the blessing of the medium of technology, right, and media, because it can go places where we can't. And so we're hopeful that this film, for decades, years to come, so long as the Lord should ordain it, will have a far-reaching effect and will reach untold multitudes with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so just go to unpopularthemovie.com, and then there's additional videos beneath that film that will help to clarify things and explain things like the reliability of the Bible, the struggle with sin, creation, and the Bible, and things like that. Ken Ham is on there. Jason Lyle is on there. And Paul Washer, of course, is on there. So, you know, take advantage of all those resources.
Great. And I want our listeners also to remember that the Heritage Grace Church website in Frisco, Texas, is heritagegrace.com, heritagegrace.com. Red Grace Media can be found at redgracemedia.com, redgracemedia.com. And the Spanish literature and Spanish media website that was mentioned earlier, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but but if you want to email me, I will send you the information. I have the link for that ministry. If you could hold on, Emilio, I want to say a proper goodbye to you off the air. And I want to, I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.